What's up, Rip City? This is Jeremy Grant, and you're catching the breeze on Trailblazers Balcony with Brooke Ozendan and Casey Hodall.
Greetings, Blazer fans, and welcome to the Blazers Balcony, episode 76 of the Blazers Balcony, Spirit of 76 of the Blazers Balcony. I am Casey Hodall.
Owned by a Koog.
Oh, is it really? Mm-hmm. How about that? I won't talk my trash about that place then if it's owned by a Koog. Shut up.
You're going to talk trash about
Spirit? No, not really. It's just... I have a love-hate relationship with Spirit of 77.
Did you first say 76?
I did, because it is episode 76.
Then you said... So I
Yeah,
said,
the Spirit of 76 is the actual...
Oh, man.
As in...
So this is on me.
Yeah. Well, no. But I mean, I think I was kind of...
I know the owner anyways. Of the Spirit of 77.
Seven, yeah.
Who is a Koog. And that's what I meant to say.
Shout out to the Koogs out
Sorry,
there.
I really, like, took that on to the left.
Hey, this is a partnership. This podcast. There's no host. There's no co-host. It's just us, Brooke. And you can interject.
I want to talk about. I'm gonna make what I want to talk about happen, whether you bring it up or not.
That's what I do in basically every argument that I've ever had ever is it's like, yeah, I'm going to change this to be what I want it to be about.
And you're very good at it, Casey.
Well, thank you. And I am Casey Holdall, and that is Brooke Olsendam, and this is the Blazers Balcony. And we are in Memphis, an icy Memphis.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
I didn't know that it really got icy in Memphis, but lo and behold, here we are. Obviously, you know, there's been stuff going on in Memphis with protests and police violence, and then they've got this ice storm going, and this, it's empty.
Not to change subjects from that to the weather, but I will say something kind of funny that I didn't want to add. I don't think you heard it because you were in the back of the bus, but when we got here and we pulled up, mm-hmm. our bus driver, she's lovely, she has cute little leg warmers on, and we pull up, she goes, "I did it." And then what was the cutest part is Dr. Green, who is our team psychologist, mm-hmm. Looks at Maggie, who is our I don't want to say assistant PR. I'm sure there's a very fancy
coordinator,
yeah,
or
coordinator,
manager. Yeah, since Versana is VP, I think she can claim manager.
Well, yeah, okay. So Maggie, we love Maggie.
Maggie's
she's great.
Awesome.
Manager of
Memphis.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Dr. Green leans over out of her chair and goes, "Maggie, get your people." And I was dying because Maggie is used to work in Memphis, and then the bus driver literally was like really proud of herself for making it to the hotel.
Hey, she should. I mean,
I know,
again,
like,
I'm guessing
out.
You don't get a whole lot of opportunities to drive in the ice. Opportunities, like, it's something you want in Memphis, particularly as a bus driver. And so when we flew in too, like, I know around the airport, you obviously they have it pretty well salted and plowed. And I was like, boy, what's the big deal? Like, this is fine. Closer and closer you get into the city, it's
worse.
Like, no. And
yeah.
I remember the bus, I think we were stopped at a light at one point, and
it was
spinning pretty mm-hmm. good, but she made it happen. So yeah, shout out to
great.
Bus driver. She
and
was
I,
great.
You know, and I applaud her for giving herself kudos.
Heck yeah,
it was just so cute. She's like, "I did it," and then just walked off the bus, and all kind of started giggling. And that's when Dr. Green was like, "Maggie, get your people," and I was like, "That was actually all hilarious."
I mean, who among us has not white knuckled a drive in the ice and/or snow
just recently?
And
when
then
we
felt
landed.
Like when you actually got there, being like, "Heck yeah, I can't believe I actually made it." Yeah, when we got back from whatever the long trip that ended in Denver the last time, it was mm-hmm. incredibly freezing across the entirety of the country. Yeah, like. Getting back from that was not easy. And yeah, I might not have yelled it out loud, but I was definitely like, yeah.
I wish I would have pulled into my garage and been like, I did it. No, that was funny because when we got there, thank you, Trailblazers. Somebody got us all scrapers for our car. And Joe Cronin walks by. He's like, "Scraper?" I was like, "Oh, yes. I think I probably do need that." And then we're all scraping. And Tristan, our photographer, our videographer, excuse me, was scraping so hard that he scraped the paint off of his car.
Right, yeah.
And he was really mad about that. And I felt bad, and I wanted to stay there and support him, but it was so cold.
Fernando had some dings in his car He is not happy about it.
Well, I mean, so I was trying to tell them all they had to do was put their windows down and the ice just pops off, right? If you just go and it goes down, the ice just – and then you hit it and it goes off. The front of your windshield, obviously you have to do that yourself. But the rest of them, you just put the windows down, they popped off, and no one was listening to me. I'm not saying they deserved it. I'm just saying I kept telling them, stop doing that. Put your window down. It'll pop right off.
Or what you can do is, like me, is drive a 17-year-old – Toyota Corolla and just not care about what's going on in their car. If it's got dents, it's got dings, it looks like a real piece of junk next to everyone else's cars.
All the time.
Well, no, so that car never had the wheel stolen from it. That's from the Accord, yeah. Oh. That I did drive that to the airport one time. And when it was snowing and one of the chains came loose and it ended up destroying the windshield wiper fluid reservoir. Cause like it like spun off and like the chain kept hitting it over and over and over again. So there's no windshield wiper fluid reservoir in that anymore. I gave it to my mom.
I didn't even know that it was called a windshield wiper reservoir. Did you just like make that up?
I mean, there might be another name for it, but I think generally when you pour liquid into something and it holds it, mm-hmm. like that's the reservoir.
Wow. Casey, that's why you're the writer and I'm not.
But we're both podcasters. And
yes,
you're listening
are.
To this
and
podcast.
And here we go.
Balcony,
and
ostensibly
sorry,
a podcast
sorry about, the rest of that.
About the Portland Trail Blazers, which, you know, I'm going to give us a little bit of credit too. We have, I would say, recently tried to, you know, distill down our conversations to more Blazer talk and less life
yeah.
outside of basketball talk. But, you know, we give ourselves the chance to
I think it's
to
good to have a nice balance.
I agree.
Because I think, like, when you listen to podcasts, obviously people that listen to our podcast care about the Blazers. Like, that's something they care about. But they still are members of the family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so, like, I get more comments about the random stuff we talk about than the actual stuff we talk about.
And really, like, I've heard complaints that we don't discuss Mayo enough. Like,
I feel like we discuss Mayo a lot.
We've had segments, or at least ideas for segments that we did once, and then we just never did them again.
We have big ideas.
Because, you know, we're idea people.
Yeah.
We're not execution people.
We are idea people. Well, I will say, Eric, who is – I call them my stage managers. That is not their title. But it's Eric, Jeff, and Randy, and they're up on – when I do the pre-post and half.
Sure.
They're up on the concourse. They all run a camera or – but well, actually, Jeff more like is the crowd person. But Eric, who I love, always sends me things. Like, he must listen to our podcast. So, hi, Eric, if you're listening. And he sent me an Instagram, like, DM about Taco Bell, and apparently they are putting out I don't know if it's a quesadilla or it's some – really, all the things are the same. It's just like the way that you wrap them.
Sure.
But they're inserting an extra large Cheez-It.
Yes, I have heard about this. Yeah.
That's so exciting to me because we all know – so first of all, number one, love is mayo. Number two is Cheez-Its.
Yeah. Mm.
And so –
delicious.
I know. I'm going to get you a Cheez-It and coat it with mayo and leave it outside your front door.
Which I – did you have the breakfast sandwich on the flight?
No.
I was a mess on the flight. 20% chance it had mayo on it.
I only saw the breakfast wrap because Danny ate it next to me, and it was just eggs and potatoes, which I hate when people put potatoes in breakfast wraps.
Well, and those potatoes, too, had, like, sauce on them, and those eggs, too. Like, it's like a brick of egg.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even – like, how did you – cut this egg to where – did you cut it to size for the roundness of this burrito?
You know what they might have done is baked them and then just like cut them in bricks.
I bet that's what happened. Yeah. But I also think that maybe the breakfast sandwich had mayo on it, which I've
– I can't attest or say no because I never saw a breakfast sandwich. I was out of commission on the flight here today. So I did not eat. I did not – I tried to sleep and get my – shoulder comfortable. I did not see a single like ounce of food on the flight, so I cannot. I wish I could add to this.
Well, let's just say it did have mayo on it. Then would that make you feel better or worse?
Better, always.
Okay, good. Well, yeah, no, it was chock-a-block full of mayo.
Oh,
it was
very, now
the,
I'm mad.
The egg was very underdone too. Like I mean, like with most things, I don't like wetness. I like firmness.
It was like runny.
It was wild runny.
Really?
Yeah, which, again, I was surprised by. Because, and they did mention to me, they're like, you know, we've been having some problems with the oven lately, so we're a little bit slow getting them out. And I was like...
How's your tummy feeling right
like,
now?
I was like, lady, we got up 4 hours on this flight. Like, you don't have to ever apologize to me for anything. I feel great, actually.
Okay, so
I'm
far, so good.
Right. Yeah.
First of all, you can't get sick from a runny...
No, you can eat raw eggs. No, there's no concern there.
Well, I mean, but isn't it funny how our moms always told us and grandmothers that you can't eat the cookie dough because there are raw eggs in there?
Yeah. Why is it with cookie dough that they – is it just to keep you from eating cookie dough, I guess?
That's a great question. I'm not sure if – I mean, I think that you can get sick from
raw
eggs.
Well, you can't. So I think the sickness comes from having raw eggs that are out for a while.
Right.
So, yeah, like if you take an egg, crack it, and eat it Rocky style.
I was going to say Rocky drink right in front
like
of us.
Yeah, no big deal. But yeah, but if when it gets mixed into other things, it becomes like a, you get salmonella.
I will say this.
Listeria.
I'll say this to you, that as much as I love mayo, I will say there's nothing more disgusting than, like, let's say you go to a picnic and the mayo is like, someone puts it in a bowl or something, for, like, throw on your burger, and it's out in the sun for over like an hour. There really is nothing more disgusting. And I love mayo, but I will say that's like really, really gross.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we can agree that
we can agree on that.
Rancid items are bad. Yeah. even rancid mayonnaise is bad.
Even I don't like rancid mayonnaise.
Yeah. We're finding common ground.
We sure are. Look at us after 76
episodes. Exactly. Well, your Portland Trailblazers just finished up their longest homestand of the season, a 6-game homestand. And really, it was a run where they played 10 of 11 at home. And, they ended up finishing all right, ended up getting a close win versus the Hawks. The first time the Blazers have won a game by single digits in over a month.
Which is so funny to me.
Which is crazy. On one hand, it's like, well, if you're blowing teams out, that's good. Like, that's definitely not a bad thing. But also, you want to win close games because it helps be able to prove to yourself that you can win close games. And when you don't win close games, I think it.
And we went through a spell there where we were
did.
Not winning close games.
Yeah, exactly. So I do think that I wouldn't make too much of it, but I, again, like the fact that they won a close game versus the Hawks at home, I think, you know, maybe helps out a little bit the next time they get into a situation where they're in a close game and they need to pull it out.
Oh, I definitely think so, because they took better care of the ball.
They've been taking great care of the ball lately,
great
by
care
the way,
of the
too.
Ball.
I think Ant only had one turnover. Dame had zero turnovers in that game versus Atlanta.
And the game before, Dame had like only one turnover, I believe. But what I liked that Chauncey said post-game was his two favorite things about how they've been playing were just that. They've been taking much better care of the ball, which was a concern, and they've shown poise down the stretch. And obviously, maybe not in a loss, but in their most recent game, they showed poise down the stretch where they had to get a stop. Yeah, that three was – they made – whatever. Hawks made that three. But they never seemed rattled. You know?
And I agree.
And we've seen them rattled maybe in the past. Mm-hmm. And I never – honestly, like, I never thought they were going to lose that game. And I can't say that in the past, where I'm like, oh, gosh, they're coming back. Oh, no, we were up 10. Now we're only up 2. Now we're tied. I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, I text Maggie, who we talked about earlier, who I want, and Rasan and Danny, who I want to interview post game. And obviously Dame was the player of the night, but we've done Dame a lot lately, Western Conference Player of the Week.
He's been the player for the last 10 games.
So,
basically.
I mean, we could have easily done Dame, but like, I like to share the wealth.
Absolutely.
And so I said Dame or game winner, and then Ant hit that three, which wasn't necessarily the game winner, but it was a huge three.
Huge shot. Yeah.
So we got Anthony, but I never send my request for a post-game interview to Maggie. Well, I send him to Maggie and Rasan, but Maggie's the one that gets like annoyed when I send it, like when it's too close. She's like, Brooke, don't send it. You're gonna I'm gonna jinx it, which obviously I'm not, but it's a cute little game we play. And so I said, Maggie, I'm sorry, but we have less than a minute, so I'm gonna request Dame or game winner. She's like, Brooke. She goes, Brooke, like with an exclamation point. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Like, run out there and like tackle them? I have to tell you who I want.
Yeah, come on. The show goes on.
Yeah, but it's cute. It's like, it's really more of an inside joke between us, where she doesn't want me to ask for someone too soon, because I've done that a couple times and we lose the game and then she blames me. So, anyways, we ended up winning the game. And my point is, I never thought we were going to lose that game.
Interesting. I did. I wouldn't say I thought they were going to lose. I was pretty concerned when they tied the game. And I think what it was, maybe like 114-114, when DeJounte Murray hit
DeJounte Murray
throws.
Had the game of his life.
Yeah, no, a very, very good game. And, you know, with Trae Young out, that obviously opened some more up for him. Bogdanovich, who I kind of forgot that he was in Atlanta, a very good player. Like, he's
a very good player. All the
Bogdanoviches
are very good players.
Yeah, exactly. Like, their names are only different by like one consonant.
The other one's better,
somewhere.
Though.
I mean, they're different. Yeah, like, one. I feel like the Detroit Boyan is just a tall version of the Atlanta.
Well, then you get Boyan. Then you got an edge.
Yeah, that's true. And it does help to be taller in the NBA.
Who's a better shooter? I would say the other one is.
I feel like they're pretty close.
I don't know. Who played for the Jazz? Boyan did.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
I think he's better.
You think he's better?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't even think it's close.
I hope this isn't insulting to
should I not say this?
Well, no. I'm just, you know, their names are basically the same, though. Like,
I'm just saying that, yeah, they're essentially, we could compare Johnsons.
That's true.
You know? I mean, Collins. We really could compare Collins. I was talking about Collins last night, and someone said, you mean Zach? I was like, no, not Zach. I'm talking about, you know, John Collins. Because I was trying to say, you didn't know.
That same draft.
They were John Collins was on the team. But, well, anyways, he was really good last night, too. But my point is that I didn't feel like the game was going to... I've seen, and you have seen, it like kind of switch. Like you feel the momentum shift to the other team within the last couple minutes, and it was kind of back and forth. I just never felt like they gave up the momentum to the Hawks. I felt like they still had it, and with Dame running the show, I just did not see that game getting away from them.
And it was almost probably helpful too that it was a close game throughout. Like it wasn't like the Laker game where, you know, they went up 25 or whatever and then they start storming back. Like the fact that it was around,
I don't want to talk about the Lakers.
9-10, 8-9-10, somewhere around there. Like I think that this is probably not the right way I want to put it, but it keeps you engaged because like it's like we have to keep playing this. You go up by 25, you're thinking like, oh, we got these guys beat, which you would hope that people don't think that because hopefully you've been around.
Well, we've come back from down 24,
exactly,
25
like,
too.
But there's just something about that. Like there, just that mentality when you're an athlete and you see it in every single sport. You know, like when the Jags ended up beating the Chargers or whichever team Justin Herbert is on, when they were down by like four touchdowns going into the half. Like once you turn it off, you can't get it back. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened versus the Lakers. But long story short, it didn't happen versus the Hawks because it was a close game throughout. It keeps you you have to be on your P's and Q's. And it was the end of a road or a homestand. And, you know, particularly in January, the team just didn't get the number of wins I think they were hoping. I mean, obviously you hope you win every game, but you look at January, you see how many home games you have, and you start thinking like, hey, maybe we can put something together mm-hmm. here. Just never really came together. As I mentioned, they ended up going 3-3 in the 6-game homestand. So they had to beat the Hawks just to get to 500 for the homestand. And they went 5-6 in the 11 games prior to that, or in the 11 games total in that run. And
that was the rough patch.
There was only one road game in that time.
Back.
Yeah, exactly. So now we're here in Memphis and starting a 3-game trip, obviously playing the Grizzlies on Wednesday night, then heading to our nation's capital. Have a day off playing the Wizards. A Wizards team that's playing quite well right now, by the way, too, on Friday night, and then the Bulls on Saturday night, and then heading back home to Portland.
Yeah,
so,
kind of a weird road trip.
It is a little bit of a weird road trip. Like, only going out for 3 games and going all the way to the East Coast is a little unusual. Though I feel like that's becoming a little more common. Did we have a similar one of those already? This year, I don't think so. Maybe not. But yeah, usually when you go out and you get to the West or to the East Coast, you play like 4 games and usually all against East Coast teams. So to start with a Western Conference team and then play 2 Eastern Conference teams and then just fly back from Chicago, that is a little bit weird. I like to pick up a game on the flight home. That's always my big thing. It's like send us back West and mm-hmm. have a stop in. I mean, we already took care of Minnesota, so they're off the books. I think we're done with Jazz maybe as well. So not a whole lot of options. And this probably isn't all that interesting anyways. People don't want to know Casey's thoughts about NBA
yes,
travel.
They do. We just talked about it. They want to know personal
that's right.
stuff. I would say I'm most annoyed that we don't get a day in Chicago.
Me too.
I love Chicago.
If I'm going to complain about something.
Yeah,
I'll complain about it.
I've been to every single thing in DC. I've gone to every monument, every museum, everything you can. Actually, the new museum I haven't been to, but that's because it's new. But I've been to everything. So, like, when I'm in D.C., I could go again, and it'd still be cool. But, like, Chicago, like, I just love that city. And I was really bummed when we talked about this before. Like, as soon as the schedule comes out, we look and say, oh, my friend, I have a friend here. I get to see them. We can go to dinner on Thursday, and then we play Friday. And I always look for Chicago, like, first. I don't know why. I just love Chicago. And I was so bummed. Like, we will have zero time. We will land at, who knows, 1:30, wake up, prepare for the game and go home. But you know what? There are worse things happening in the world than us not getting to go to pizza in Chicago.
Pizza in China. There's a lot of great shopping in Chicago as well, too.
Oh, yeah.
But
we could complain about that, too.
Yeah. But we won't.
But we won't.
We will not. But, you know, for the Blazers, you know, they're in a situation right now, too, where as of right now, they are in 11th behind the Oklahoma City Thunder at 24-26, 10 games back from the Nuggets for first place, 2 games back from the Mavericks and the Warriors for 5th and 6th, which is where you skip the play-in. So, again, like, it's been the theme all season long in that, you know, the Blazers at times look all right. They look not as all right at other times. Haven't strung together a long winning streak. They haven't won 4 games in a row since the first week of the season. And, you know, I wouldn't say time is getting short for them, but, you know, it's getting to the point where it's like, is something going to happen here or not? And, you know, I think obviously when you have the trade deadline coming up as it is, I think that adds another layer of kind of like, well, are they going to do something? Are they not going to do something? If they do make a move, what does that mean for the season? Does that mean they're going this direction or that direction? All indications are that the team's looking to improve at the deadline if they have the option to. But not a whole lot of movement just yet on anything there. But, I mean, long story short, again, it just seems like as of right now, the team is just kind of in the same place they've been for a while now. And, you know, you would hope that at some point they would maybe build a little momentum or kind of hit a streak. And, you know, the offense right now is humming along really well. I think they're 8th right now in offensive rating for this season.
Last game was a great shooting night.
Another great shooting night, but I think they're down to 26th in defensive rating right now. So, again,
I feel like we've seen improvements, though, in the homestand a little bit.
Yeah, I it feels like a lot of teams are shooting around 48-50% against the Blazers now, but they're getting wins in those games, which I think is a positive thing.
And also getting stops down the stretch.
Yeah.
Which we maybe didn't see before.
Yeah, no, I that's understandable too. And I think I would agree with that. Yeah, you know, it looks good in fits and starts. And, you know, I just think that at this point, and I think Dame even mentioned it in the post game versus the Hawks, you know, about winning close games or winning blowouts. It's like, look, we just don't do anything consistently enough right now to always put ourselves in a good position. And if we can get to that point, then we can maybe talk about, you know, a post All-Star break run. If they're going to make the playoffs this season, they're going to have to do something, you know, like they're going to have to string together some wins at some point, because it seems pretty obvious at this point that all the teams are kind of what they are and everyone is going to kind of be in the mix. And yeah, you're not going to be out of it until the last 3 games of the season, most likely, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to jump in front of teams either. So again, to me, it feels like, you know, we're already past the halfway mark. We're coming up on the unofficial midway point of the season with the All-Star break, which, by the way, too, Shaedon Sharpe not getting invited to the Rising Stars Challenge. A little surprising there. We can talk about that in a minute or two. Mm-hmm. It just feels like now is the time for something to happen. And, you know, if you're able to beat a really good Memphis team on their floor, which is a pretty tall task, that would obviously get you off to a good start there. But even if you're not able to do that, if you're able to get both of the games or even one of the games versus the Bulls and Wizards, if you go 2-1 on this trip, I think you feel really good about it. I think maybe you can carry that into, again, another extended homestand before the All-Star break. But it just feels like they're just waiting for something to happen almost, you know, and it just hasn't happened yet.
I will say this. You've been covering the team longer than I have, but it does always seem like after All-Star break, there's something kind of clicks. And it usually, obviously, starts with Dame, where he just like ups his game, which he's already, maybe he's just already started it. You know?
I think he has upped his yearly, I'm going to go crazy after the All-Star break into a, if I don't go crazy now, we might not even make it to the All-Star break and still be in touch.
Which, Michael and Holden and I talk about it a lot, where you want it to be a team where he doesn't feel like he has to do that.
Yeah.
But at at the same time, he can do that. So it's kind of a two-edged sword, or a double-edged sword. But he has been turning up, obviously, Western Conference Player of the Week. But I always kind of just like, I don't want to say I sit back and wait, but there's something that always happens after All-Star break where the team just ups their
game. That's a good point.
And maybe it will happen before. That'd be great. I'd love that. But I just have, again, glass half full. I have this idea and faith and hope that after that break, that things just like kind of start rolling. Just because I've seen it happen before. And I know the team is very different than it was like when my first year, my third year, my fifth year. But they've all been, you know, coincidentally led by the same person. So I think there's something there's something to that. So I think that something does have to happen. I don't know what that thing is, but there have been a couple wins. Like I know there was only a 3 out of 6 on this last homestand, but they had to win those games. And like, if you look back and there were a lot of them were close, that if they wouldn't have won this sixth one at home against the Hawks, like this would be a weirdly different conversation that we're having right now.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, I guess that's kind of a roundabout way to say what I'm kind of trying to get to as well, which is like, yeah, like it feels like they're one win or one loss away from it either being like, hey, maybe something's happening here, or like, boy, we are trash. Mm-hmm. Like it really seems to be like that close, and you'd prefer that would not be the case, you know. Mm-hmm. Like you should feel like you can drop some games here and there while still being competitive. But you know, I was talking to someone about this the other night. Like it just doesn't seem to me like they haven't won a game this year that they shouldn't have won, you know. Like I was trying to rack my brain to be like, where was there a game this season where they snuck up on someone or a team that was considerably better than them?
There's got to be one. I feel like there's one.
I mean,
one.
Like maybe Phoenix early in the season.
Yeah, that's the one.
But literally, that's the one, you know, man. Like, which – and that's not something we're accustomed to seeing from this team.
I also wouldn't expect 2 straight wins over Dallas.
Yeah, at home.
I know Dallas. I know
that's not
your father's
second night without Luka. Like, I don't know. I guess that's true. Expect
but I thought games. That they would win the game that Luka didn't play.
Those were good wins. I'm not saying they're not good wins.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just like trying to think about.
Right, you're trying to think about what are and I guess why I'm saying that too is because that's kind of been a hallmark of this team, is that you know like they will they play some games better than their record. And it was always like, oh, they play down to teams that are below them in the standings. And now it just feels like they're not catching anyone, you know? And you'd like to see that happen at some point in time, because if you do, then I think you can, it's easier to make that argument that, yeah, you know, we're in 11th right now, but we're only 2 games away from being in fifth, which is where they're at. Mm. And that's a good thing. It's obviously better to be within arm's reach than to have it out of reach. It's a terrible turn of phrase there. Apologies for that. But like the fact that they haven't kind of snuck up on any teams or gotten a really quality win against an opponent that's better than them.
Yeah.
At a certain point, it starts to get a little harder, I think, to make that argument, even if the numbers say, like, hey, we're right in it, which they are. So if you're able to beat a team like Memphis in Memphis on Wednesday night, that would absolutely qualify. You know, the first 3 quarters of the last loss in Denver, it's like, hey, they're right in this. This seems like it's going along. And then the fourth quarter happens, and you end up losing by 15. You know, like, those are the things where, again, if you want to make the case that, like, yeah, we're not as good as we hoped we would be, but we still have a very good chance to make the playoffs because we're right in the mix, mm-hmm. I'd just feel a lot better about that if there was a win against the 76ers or a win against Denver or a win even against, you know, a team like Golden State or Phoenix, you know, kind of some of the teams that were expected maybe be a little better and are still kind of trying to find their way. Like I would feel good about those things. Yeah. And granted, they did win the season series versus Phoenix, but that was, you know, in the first month of the season. So I'm hoping that between the way Dame is playing right now, with the team getting a little bit healthier, both Nurk and Josh missed the game versus the Raptors, and it showed.
I mean, they could not rebound
to save their lives, and so to lose your two best rebounders, that was. I won't say that's as frank as Chauncey's been this season, but maybe as exasperated as he's been. Which in the postgame, he was like, "Yeah, guys, what we didn't have our two best rebounders. What do you want me to do?" Like, and at a certain point, like it's no more complicated than that.
Right?
Like it's like. Yeah, he's right. Like, we don't have the guys that do the thing that we were missing tonight. And sometimes, you know, it's not about scheme or talent. It's about like, hey, if we don't have the...
What is about talent?
Well, it's about talent, but like specific talent, right. You know, like a specific area or skill set that you happen to be quality at. And so with those guys back now, and I think, you know, Josh looked pretty good to me. Nurk's looked to me like he's still struggling with something right now. I don't know exactly what it is, but he just doesn't look necessarily the way that I'm accustomed to seeing him look. But, you know, if those guys are able to kind of get healthier, if they're able to do something in this next 2 weeks before the All-Star break and this next week and a half before the trade deadline – then I think at that point you start to look at the schedule and say like, yeah, they're right in this thing. They can win three straight games. They could even jump up maybe into, you know, where the play-in is at right now. But it's just gotta, they've got to get some of those wins versus some teams that are a bit better than them. And TBD
starts with Memphis. Yeah.
You would hope.
Well, think of it. Like if they beat Memphis, which would be great. Like that right there is a huge win. And you mentioned earlier Washington's playing
Wizards
great.
Wizards are playing really well right now.
And then string together a third. Let's just say another one over Chicago. The teams that are in like, you know, 6 through 11 lose a few. I mean, it's crazy how much you can jump up.
Yeah, I mean, if they won these next three games, they would.
Let's just pretend.
Let's just say they win every game on this trip. Which would make this one of the
very successful trips.
Yeah, I mean that first trip early winner. Like
those were the days.
That's a legendary trip. So even going 3-1 on this one, I don't think would match that, or 3-0, but it would be great. If at that point they would have 27 wins, which, you know, obviously everyone else is doing stuff right now too. But if they were at 27 right now, they'd be in sixth.
That's wild.
So again, like. Give me a reason to feel like that's going to happen. You know?
Like, well, we'll see, Case. Like, we'll see tomorrow night. What I will say, we talked about Chauncey saying what he liked about last game was taking care of the ball and poise down the stretch. Something we haven't brought up, which needs to be discussed: getting out early, being aggressive offensively,
yes.
And not get into a hole, which they didn't do last game. And I asked Anfernee about that post game in our walk-off interview. He said that was a point of emphasis from Chauncey and the coaching staff. We cannot go down 12, 15 and then just play catch up all night. Like that's not, it takes so much out of you. And it's just not, it's not the ideal way to win a game. Let's be honest, like opposite of. So if they can continue thinking about that point of emphasis and coming out and being not so lazy, I don't want to say lazy. Laissez-faire. No, lackadaisical.
Oh, I thought you were doing the French version.
Laissez-faire.
Yeah, lackadaisical. Yeah.
Does laissez-faire fit too?
Well, laissez-faire, yeah, is.
I was trying to say
laissez-faire means to kind of be casual about something.
Well, they're the same thing then.
Yeah.
It's but what am I trying to say? Lackadaisical?
Yeah.
I hate that word. Okay, they're not so lackadaisical. Just doesn't sound right, but whatever. I'll move on.
I say lackadaisical, and that's probably
what
incorrect.
Say.
So I'm probably adding extra vowels into it. So.
Okay, thank God it's not just me. So they don't come out like just like, well, we're just gonna, you know, figure out how the game's gonna go as it goes. They didn't do that against the Hawks. They came out and Dame like stood his ground and started shooting right away. I loved it. And if they can have that mindset and that approach to these games on the road. I feel good about it, but there are just certain things have to happen. And you talk about consistency with Nurk, which when Nurk is at his best, I just think he's the greatest. Like I just like when he's finishing strong around the rim. Defensively, I think he's pretty consistent. But when the whole team comes out and it's like, we're not going to get in a hole early, and we're all on the same page about that, right? And they're attacking, that combined with taking care of the ball, and if the game is tight down the stretch, them showing poise, I think those are the three things that recently have been a factor. If they can if they can do those three things on these road trip games, who knows? I think it's possible. I mean, I'm not trying to be like puppies and rainbows, but I'm just saying, like, it's possible. They just have to, they have to do certain things, and they have to really be cognizant of them. And I think those are the, for me, I'm no coach. My dad was, but if my dad was here, I think he'd agree. It is starting off strong, taking care of the ball, and if it's a tight game, showing poise and making sure that you have like control over your team down the stretch, where it's not just about like playing catch up. Like, it's about getting stops and scoring, which they showed against the Hawks the other night.
Well, and I'm really curious too to see how the game versus the Grizzlies goes, because Memphis is, I believe, the second rated defense this season, and Portland's offense has been going pretty well lately. As I mentioned, they're top 10 in offensive rating, which I think they were maybe like a 10th or 11th to start the week, and I think they're down to 8th, which is quite a good improvement.
They've been consistently top 10 all year.
Right. And with Dame playing as well as he's been playing lately, like, you wonder, like, which one of those things is going to come out on top? Is it going to be Portland's offense, or is it going to be Memphis's defense? Mm-hmm. Obviously, when you're playing in Memphis, a tough place to play versus a very good team, one of the teams I think people view as a contender this season. You know, I think it's a good measuring stick for how good has the offense been, and can their defense be good enough to win games, and, you know, can they best a team like the Grizzlies on their home court through the strength of just their offense alone? And I doubt it, but if they can defend at a level that's quality enough to keep it from getting out of hand, like, they'll have a shot. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
what a way to start the road trip too.
Exactly. And I've been saying this all year long that, like, if they could just have a stretch, mm-hmm, where the offense is going well and the defense is even average, like, this becomes a pretty good team. It's just when one goes up, the other goes down. Like, mm-hmm, the offense is humming right now, and they're 26th in defensive rating. It's like, give me a 2-week stretch where everything is just working
and
the way
second
it's supposed
unit
to.
Is productive
and has people on it. You know, mm-hmm, like, yeah. And so to get guys like Nas back, to get Gary to the point where he's not even on the injury report anymore, you know, they're basically down to just Justice as a guy who is playing minutes. Who's
the best ability
healthy.
Is the availability.
Yeah, the availability. And I mean, they could use Justice for sure. I mean, as a secondary playmaker and ball handler in that second unit, you know, that's kind of basically Dame and Ant are having to kind of do that in a stagger, and it's working okay, but it would work better if there was kind of a full-on unit for it. So,
well, if this helps to let you know that Justice is really working to get back, he walks by my desk in the I always want to say hallway, but that's not really what it's called, in the tunnel, you know, like going back and forth throughout the night, because he's not playing. So, like, he might go back to the bathroom, grab a snack, I don't know. But he walks by, and Casey gave me a lovely Christmas gift where it's a bag that says, does it say Miss Pickle?
I think it says Pickle Queen.
Queen, that's right. And I've used that for my sweets bag. So I have, well, Halls, and I have
your sweets bag, which includes cough drops. Yeah,
it's my lozenge bag.
There you go.
And so I have sugar-free Jolly Ranchers, sugar-free Werther's, stuff for my throat, because you guys remember I was sick in Denver, so I had all the Halls, and it's like jam-packed with all that stuff. And then we also have, what are they called? The really sour things.
Warheads. Yeah.
But those are just in Blazers broadcasting. Those, I didn't bring those myself. I just, people give them to me because I once said I liked them, and now they're always on my desk. And so I have warheads in there too. So he walks by my desk and he leans down and he goes, "What's that?" I go, "It's a warhead." He goes, "Oh, I can't eat that. I'm on a sugar-free diet right now." I go, "Well, just you wait." And I lean in and I pull out my sugar-free Halls. It says it on thing, sugar-free, or not Halls, sugar-free Jolly Rancher. He's like, "Oh." So now every time he walks by, he just puts his hand out and waits for me to give him my sugar-free please. Jolly Ranchers. So my point is, Justice is on a sugar-free diet, which makes me believe he is very dedicated to getting back as soon as possible.
Which is I haven't seen Justice in shorts lately. I'm curious to see how that calf looks, because I remember when I saw it 3 weeks ago after he'd been wearing the boot for a minute, mm-hmm. like, it's astonishing how quickly that muscle atrophies.
No, when you're in a boot. Atrophy is so gross to me.
And yeah, when you see, like, particularly Justice, he's a big guy. He's athletic. He's
very big.
And like, you see like the regular leg and then the leg that's been in a boot, and it's like, man, like that looks terrible. So I'm curious how that rehabilitation is going, and how much of it at this point is the ankle, and how much is
the rest
needing
of it.
To get back to a fitness level and to a muscular level to where it's not going to you're not going to exacerbate the
well, if sugar free Jolly Ranchers help in that way, then he is on his way.
Now, why do you have sugar free stuff, Brooke?
Because I don't like to eat my calories through via liquids and little sweet treats. Like, I like to like gnaw on things throughout the game, but I'm not going to like have a bag of Doritos on my desk, you know? So I'm going to have.
I would.
Well, now that I think about it, it sounds kind of nice. But that's funny, because the other night on the Jumbotron, was it Anthony or Nasir who was it that they did that thing that Todd Bosma does where it's the
Regurgicam?
No, that was crazy.
Yeah, no,
though.
I thought we were done with the Regurgicam.
I've never seen it before the other night.
We don't do it very often, but we used to do it more frequently than we do now. And I had thought it had gotten to the point where it's like, guys, this is grotesque.
It's funny.
I feel
it
like
is
it
funny,
kind
though.
Of makes our, the people who come to the arena look like, I wouldn't want to be on the Regurgicam.
Well, who would?
Well, right. But like, you're paying us to come here. Like, you are a customer.
But here's the thing. They're excited to be on the Jumbotron, but is it still exciting? I mean, like, with the level of excitement, how much does it go down when you're regurgitating food, but are you still excited to be on it? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I think I would be like, oh, like, yeah. I think it would be that moment where you're like, oh, cool, I'm up. And then you realize,
yeah, oh, shoot,
it's
because
it's me uneating a chicken wing.
Right.
That's coming out of my mouth.
As a bummer is we don't get to see the reaction because it's not live, because they have to like take it into, you know.
Oh, so you're saying you want like a split screen,
yeah,
where it's like
I want
the Regurgicam,
yes,
and then the person watching themselves.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And then they'd be laughing, I hope. And then I'd feel better. But back to what I was saying. So one of our players, gosh, what's wrong with me? It was just the other night. It was like, you know, where it's like blah. Todd Bosman does this thing where it's like March Madness.
Oh, the bracket challenge.
Yeah, bracket challenge.
Yeah.
Who was it that was like,
so
Doritos
was,
or Cheetos? Was it Nasir or Anthony?
Well, so Anthony was versus the Hawks.
Then it was Anthony.
And I think it was, yeah. Which, yeah, like, didn't Twitter win his bracket,
yes,
challenge?
Twitter,
which,
versus streaming. Which, thank you, it was Anthony. But it was between, so the final four, if I'm not incorrect, I think it was Doritos versus Cheetos, and then, or no, Doritos versus streaming, and Twitter versus Cheetos, or the other way around. And he chose Twitter, and he chose streaming, and then Twitter won. And people were very disappointed.
Well, and I mean, Fernando even looked at me, he's like, but Ant barely tweets.
I know. I was going to say,
like, yeah, no.
Josh Hart would choose Twitter, and I,
yeah,
would totally understand that because he's a Twitter king. But Anthony, I can't. I check their Twitter every single game day. I can't remember the last time I grabbed something from Anthony's Twitter,
well, yeah,
page.
Ant's just kind of a quiet guy anyway. So yeah, like if he was on Twitter,
maybe he's
all
an
the
observer.
Time, the bracket challenge is a really. It's a very. I don't like the Regurgicam. I think the bracket challenge is fantastic,
oh,
because
great.
The responses that it elicits from people always stuns me.
Super,
like,
passionate.
People, exactly. People rooting for
they,
random
no, they were rooting
things.
For Doritos.
Well, and rightfully so, because Twitter, like, who's Unless you're Elon Musk, why are you rooting for Twitter
right now?
Heck, I don't even know if he is.
No one cheered for Twitter. They cheered when it was first Cheetos versus something, the Beach, I think, and Cheetos won, and then it was Doritos.
I feel like Beach got pretty far in ants.
Beach did. Maybe it was Doritos that beat Beach.
It might have been. Yeah.
I think it was. And everyone cheered, though, even though they liked Beach, because he chose Beach over Lake, I believe. And then he chose Doritos over Beach, and everyone went wild over the Doritos. And then when Twitter won, they were like, oh. Yeah.
So, and just the investment that people have in the bracket challenge is that's proof that it's a good in-game feature. So shout out to Buzzman and his crew for that one.
Oh, well, they're the best in the biz. Even Mascot Night was a success. They came and accosted me, as they always do, which is planned. But they were very cute and fun. And I've known the Boomer, Indiana Pacer mascot, since I worked there. So he's been there for like 20 plus years. He was a college gymnast. He's amazing. He's like 50 something. He's the only one that made the dunk.
Like it when you talk about who they are underneath the mask, Brooke.
I didn't say his name.
Well, I know, but even saying that he's 50, Boomer, if you're listening to this, no offense.
Well, I was giving him props that he can.
Well, no.
Do
I know, but like it, keeping the okay. the kayfabe.
All
know?
Right, he's 22, and he is just a delight. And
not a cougar.
No. But anyways, and then we also had. I was going to bring this up, and then we can stop. But this was really funny. So we were in Denver, right? Last time we were in Denver.
Yes.
And this guy, and I have my little seat up there. Where remember, like it's like on its podium. It's on in the tunnel.
Oh right, yeah. Table. I sat by Maggie. We sat where the offshoot of the bench there. And in my head, you were sitting with us, but you weren't. Yeah, you were at your little table.
I'm over there in the corner. And this man walks up to me, and he's yelling something at me. I have my ears in. By the way, I brought this up before, but I always want to say, if you're yelling at me in the stands or on the concourse, if I don't respond, it's because I don't hear you. I have my ears in, and they're literally noise canceling.
Yeah, they fill up the entire space canal in the ear. They're molded.
They're molded to my ear. So that happens a lot, and people are like, you didn't say hi back. I'm like, I didn't hear you. So this man's looking. No, stop. Excuse me. This man's looking at me and yelling at me. And it was pregame. Like, it was like way pregame, like 2 hours before the game. And I can tell. So I take my ear and I was like, what's up, bro? And he's like, hey, I'm performing tonight. I go, oh, are you doing the national anthem? He goes, no, I'm doing halftime. I go, oh, that's cool. And like, and he's like yelling at me from across the other end of the. So it was kind of awkward a little bit. And I go, well, that's cool. He goes, yeah. And then I'll see you in Portland next month. I was like, great. And then he goes, like, I'm going to follow you on Instagram. I go, cool. You know, I have no idea what's happening. I look down a couple minutes later. Chin man.
Chin balancer is. I mentioned this to a few people last night. That's a great halftime act.
Amazing.
Like, it's just the right level of. Interesting and difficult and a skill.
Oh, totally skill.
While also like weird and completely unnecessary and a little bit dangerous and kind of goofy. Like, again, like it's like, to me, it's not on the same level. I'm not saying it's the same level.
Red Panda.
It's very Red Panda-ish to me because it's like she's doing something that
no one else can
like
do.
Is interesting. So like the unicycle in and of itself is like, oh, okay, that's kind of interesting. Like if you were able to like lift up things like that would kind of be like, oh, that's kind of a good act, but you need something to take it to like there needs to be like a different level to it, like a different approach to how you're going to entertain. And so with Red Panda, it's, how about I flip bowls from my feet onto my head?
While
it's like, which
on a
doesn't
unicycle.
Really have anything to do with being on a unicycle, but it adds a level to it that makes it a real show. And the same with the chin balancer. It's like, if he was like holding those on his palm, like that'd be a pretty good act. Yeah. But the fact that he's putting it on his chin and the way that the progression of his act now too, to where like he's got all the stuff like on. It looks like the Showcase Showdown from Price is Right because like it's like all these like
the
merchandise. Yeah, exactly. That he's going to balance on his chin. And the other thing that I feel like is really solid about Chin Balancer is that and this probably doesn't apply to Red Panda, is that there's always a split second where you're like, I think I could do that. Like for me, I'm like at the start, I'm like, I think I could I can balance some stuff in my chin.
Then, yes, it gets more difficult and more difficult. You're like, no.
Well, and it, again, like once it gets to like the barbecue, it starts to be like metal things with like long legs, that's where I'm like,
don't forget the Christmas tree in Denver because it was Christmas time.
Christmas tree in Denver. The ball rack, those ball racks are heavy.
Like, I couldn't lift it on my own. Yeah, just holding my hand.
Yeah, they're. I mean, and so shout out to the chin balancer. That's a he is going to be an
mainstay
NBA fixture for years as long as he doesn't injure himself. Because like the other piece too is that like that has to be terrible for your neck and back. Like
for sure.
And even like the way that he does it, like how he kind of like moves his head up, real fast. I'm in my head. I'm like, man, you got to wear a brace or something. I wonder how much. How much like maintenance he has to
do. Is he getting the ice bath afterwards? He's got to.
I mean, he would at least, you would think, have to like make sure that, because I know, like for me, like if I sleep in kind of a weird position, like for a week and a half, I'm garbage. Like I can't move the right way. And so, you know, if you're booked for five half times over the course of a week, even, it's like, I got to be at the top of my game, and like I can't chance a pulled strapeze vertebrae or whatever you want to use.
Well, it was funny. It was when we were in Denver, and I still didn't know he was chin balancer when he was talking to me.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a high enough profile yet to where if you saw him, you'd be like, chin balancer.
No, that's why I thought he was the national anthem singer.
Like if he wasn't wearing his clothes, I might not recognize him. But like the Simon Says guy, I feel like if I saw him, I'd be like, yeah, I know who that
guy
is.
Oh, he's very eccentric, yeah. But I said to him, I go, again, still not knowing he was chin balancer, because I wasn't sure what was happening, and I could barely hear him. So I was like, well, when you're in Portland, come say hi to me. You know, like I was just being friendly. Last game against the Hawks, pregame starting, I look over, he goes, hey, it's me. You told me to come say hi to you. I was like, oh, chin balancer. He came up to the concourse to find me at my desk because he goes, you told me to come say hi. I was like, I sure did, and I'm so glad you did. He's like, I'll be down there halftime chin balancing. I was like, I won't be there. I'll be here halftime, but I'll be rooting you on. And then we showed him like coming back from break and stuff. But it was so funny because I mean, he listened to me. I said, come say hi to me. He's like, I found out where you were and I came and said hi. I was like, and you are the chin balancer.
Well, and chin balancer, he's not too big yet. You know, like,
no, he's very balanced.
If chin balancer, if he continues to do this for another year, like, he's going to reach a level to where, like, he's not going to be having conversations with
him. He's not going to find me on the concourse.
Exactly. He's too big for that. But he's still new now, and I think he's probably, like, I tweeted at him the other day, and he was like, oh, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. Chin balancer on Twitter.
Yeah, no, trust me.
It's somewhere in there. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he's still like in the early stages of his chin balancing career. And so, you know, he's still hungry, you know, like he's still out there to get it. He wants to make a name for himself.
Yeah.
He's not so jaded by the business.
He's still
or
hustling.
He's not done it so many times to where he's like, yeah, you know, it's old hat, you know. So,
well, we know if we're still doing this in 5 years, we'll have a reconvening of the chin balancer conversation and see where he's at and if he's still talking to us.
Again, if chin balancer is able to stay healthy, I think that his career, he's going to have a very successful,
we can keep him off the IR,
halftime show career. Like, and I don't know if he's doing other sports right now or if he's just doing NBA, but I imagine that if he's able to, again, like if his neck and back holds up, sky's the limit for chin balancer.
So my mom and her husband, Scott, come to games, but what they do is they drive to my house, which is in Southwest Portland. And then my mom is a huge fan of public transportation. So they take the bus and then they get on the MAX and they have their whole plan. They do it every single game. And then they come sit on the concourse when I'm doing the post game show. I drive them back to my house, Blue House, and then they get in their car and go home because it's closer. So they were totally enthralled with chin balancer. And Scott was like, well, Brooke, you've been up close to him, yeah? I'm like, yeah, well, yeah, I guess. He was, you know, a couple times.
You've met the chin
balancer. Yeah, they were enthralled. And he goes, so does he have like a flat chin? Like, is his chin like, can you look at him and be like, oh, that guy can balance things on his chin? I was like, no,
it's a very standard chin.
It's a standard chin. You don't look at him and be like, oh, that guy's got like a very broad chin. I wonder if he can balance things on it. He looks like a normal dude that's just chilling. And like your friend, like you'd see at the bar watching football on Sunday and he'd be like a little gregarious, ha ha ha. But like, that's it. His chin does not look like a different chin. It looks like a normal chin.
I bet I feel like I have a big chin. kind
do
of
you?
Like, or more, I have a kind of a big jaw, I think.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know.
I
think I have a standard chin.
Yeah, you're, yeah, maybe, I mean, maybe a little small. So you don't have much of a ridge there to like, you need a little bit of like a, whatever that space yeah. between your lip and like your chin,
yeah.
whatever this thing is right here, like you need, I think you need a little bit of a shelf there.
Yeah,
he
must have a little bit, but it's
yeah.
not like something you'd notice.
No.
So that was the whole point. I don't know why I need to tell the entire public transportation story to talk about chin bouncers.
That's the Brooke approach to storytelling.
I do. I give a lot of details.
To throw in one thing that probably doesn't have a whole lot to do with the actual story itself. But, you know, it's context. So, you know, it's. I'm not saying you should edit it out. But, you know, it's.
I have found
at times that, no, I'm not editing that out.
On that note,
exactly. We do need to get out. Thank you so much for joining us. We didn't really talk about it. Damian Lillard. Well, on Thursday, they're going to announce All-Star Reserves, and we don't know for sure, but...
Well, if he doesn't, I quit.
If Damian doesn't make it, we riot.
Yeah.
Shaedon Sharpe not getting selected for the Rising Stars game, which, you know, I think is kind of a bummer, but I don't think that it's really bothering him too much. But he's already going to be at All-Star Weekend anyway, so, like,
contest.
We all just kind of assumed that he was going to be in it, but he is not in it, though. I guess maybe there's an injury replacement. He might do that, though. Going through the list, too, like, there's a lot of really good rookies and second-year players.
There are a lot of really good rookies
And you throw in the G League guys, and, you know, they're getting token spots. But, like, yeah. you look at all the guys who are in it, and particularly for the rookies, you're like, I can't really take anyone off this.
Yeah,
and it's also the rookie-sophomore game, so who cares? And I guess they don't do international United States anymore. Like, I can't keep track of what they're doing at the All-Star Game anymore.
That's
like,
a bummer
it changes
for Kevin
Calabro
because he loves talking about the All-Canada team. He talks about it like every third game.
The Canadian team should be better.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that at some point in time they're able to get that squared away because they have way too much talent to be a complete non-story on the international basketball stage.
Well, ask Kevin. We should have Kevin on because he has the whole team planned out.
You should tell Leo Routon. He's the one that puts the team together.
All right. I'll let him know.
Let him know. Well, thank you so much for joining this very loose edition of the Blazers Balcony, episode number 76.
Spirit up.
Next time it'll be 77.
And then I'll say it again.
And we'll say it again. We'll probably be back home in time for that one, but TBD on that. Out for the 3-game trip. Memphis, D.C., Chicago, back home. I think we're home for a week or so after that, and then right into the All-Star break. And I will be at All-Star Weekend. So if you are also going to be in Salt Lake City, go ahead and yell at me, particularly if you bounce stuff on your chin.
So. Definitely.
Okay. Thank you so much. We will talk to you next week.
Peace out.